lot of things I was going to say today, but my mom surprised me and showed up today. But I'm still going to say about it. Moms do a funny thing. I titled my sermon today, Loved, because that's really in the essence of motherhood, is that at the end of the day, is that we are loved by our moms, aren't we? And my mom showed us love in funny ways. One of the things ways that she showed us was that she always wanted to take piano lessons, and she never did. So she loved us so much, she made us take piano lessons. And she loved me for 8 years, and I still don't know the difference between bass clef, treble clef, I don't know. Somewhere in there, I learned something, though. I found this out recently. There's actually been studies done, though. My mom may not have realized how much she was showing love, because the studies show this. There's an advantage to playing a musical instrument as a child. Some of those advantages include increase of memory, better time management skills, boost in team building skills, techniques of perseverance. It enhances your coordination, increases your responsibility, promotes social skills, teaches you discipline, promotes happiness in your life. Now, I don't know about that last one, because many of the hours of practicing the piano, happiness was not the word that I described for that. It does enhance your respiratory system, which, being an asthmatic, that was a very good thing. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was that it enhances your organizational skills. Now, I will tell it myself, because here's what happened one night. I was practicing, and we had a split-level home, and our piano was upstairs, and my family would hang out in the family room downstairs to not distract us during piano lesson, piano practice. And I came up with a really clever organizational time management technique. I taped myself playing through the songs and then just hit replay. And it took them about 30 minutes to realize that I was just playing on loop, but then my mom said she heard me make the same mistake in the same song like 3 times in a row. So I guess I did learn a little bit about organizational skills. But in all reality, the love of a mom and the nurturing of a mom is super important. Science has just caught up with this fact that there's a study that has found that nurturing children early on actually helps change the size and capacity of our brain. Dr. Joan Lubbe, a psychologist at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, concludes this, that we can now say with confidence that the psychosocial environment has a maternal impact in the way that the human brain develops. It puts a very strong wind behind the sail of the idea that early nurturing of children positively affects their development. So somebody spent a lot of money and a lot of time to tell you what probably any grandma could have told you. If you love on your kids, they're better kids. But they actually did a study. This is a little bit more scientific. They looked at kids' brains, and they actually found that the brains were actually 10% larger and had better capacity than those of who didn't have nurturing mothers. So I should thank my mom anytime that somebody compliments me and says that I'm smart. It's all because of her. And those piano lessons. So seeing that mothers are so important and mothers are all about love, I immediately thought of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that mothers really are the picture of love. But I've modified it a little bit, if you will go with me to this. Many of you may be familiar with this passage, but I've added a few things in there. Number one, love is patient, love is kind, until you get on my last good nerve. It does not envy, but does your mom ever wonder why? How can they afford that on his salary? It does not boast and is not proud, except, of course, to mention a few of the amazing things that my children and grandchildren are doing. And by the way, I have some photographs. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. But God help us when she is, because when mama's not happy, no one is. It keeps no record of wrongs because she has a photographic memory of the past and there's no need to write it down. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, because that's what she wants, the truth. And it will hurt you or hurt her more than the spanking that you're going to get by telling the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You may have heard your mom say, oh, I just hope they're going through a phase, and God help me get through it. See, love, moms are a picture of love. Godly moms do a lot for us. And there's a lot that the Bible tells us about mothers. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to me with 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Or you can also on your phone, if you have the YouVersion, we also have this available on the live event. We start off by looking at moms, the godly moms who are so loving. And all joking aside, moms do the bulk of the loving in our home, don't they? Now, don't get me wrong, I had a very loving dad, and there's a lot of men who are very loving and caring for their children. But when children are hurt, who do they run to? When they score the touchdown in the Super Bowl, who do they say hi to? Never mind the hours that dad spent in the backyard tossing the ball and teaching them the way to catch it. It's who? Mom. Because moms just evoke love. And when the guy finally breaks down and shows it, who's he show it to? Mom. Dad might get a knuckle bump, but mom gets hugs and cards. And it's interesting, today is the number one busiest day on phones. There's more long-distance phone calls made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. You want to know when the least amount of long-distance phone calls are made? Father's Day. Somebody suggested last night that we go out to eat. I said, you realize that this is the number one day for going out to eat as well. That's just, unless you want to sit for an hour or two waiting to get in. Father's Day, we still have to grill, right? I mean, I don't know. No one takes us out. It's all truth. Love rejoices with the truth. I just remind you of that. That's scripture. So let's just rejoice in that truth. I'm not going to make it out of here alive. I'm going to get back to my sermon here. God's godly mothers love by nurturing. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 says, but we proved to be gentle among you as nursing mothers tenderly care for her own children. There is great comfort, in Isaiah 66:13 says, there is great comfort and rest and security in a mother's embrace. For as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You know, there's a reason that God instilled mothers to love. Because God is love. And you know, the joke we talked about when we were going through Genesis that may have said that, you know, men were made first, and then after he got done with the prototype, they made women, right? You guys are just a little different. Thank God. Because you guys do things that we don't do naturally. And you come in and you come behind us in ways as moms and as women that men sometimes forget. My kid falls down, I'm like, suck it up. Walk it off. Mom comes along and she wipes away tears and she kisses boo-boos. God created men and women to be that way. We complement each other. But he made women to be nurturing by nature. Watch a group of women around the playground and the husbands or guys are like, hey, look, they're swinging from the top of the tree and doing a back somersault off of the jungle gym. That was really cool. What are moms doing? Get down. What are you doing? They're underneath there. I'm going to catch you. What? Oh. And even if it's not their own kid. I witnessed this not too long ago. We were out at the mall, and they had a little play area, and like the kids were climbing to the very top thing that you're really not supposed to climb on. And like, there's all these moms, there's like six or seven women, like, ah. Not one man even looked. Women are nurturing by nature. And God created them that way to comfort us. The second thing, the way that God created women to be loving is that they love by teaching. And I reference back to the passage that I read whenever we were dedicating the children, that Deuteronomy 6 says, impress God's commandments on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And that's exactly what we as parents should be doing. And that's what moms do. It just makes me swell with pride to come downstairs, and this is, I'm not just making this up, this is the truth, is that we come downstairs and we're getting ready to sit down for breakfast, and Amy opens up the daily devotional, and she'll open up, she'll ask Luke and them to get their Bible and have a little devotion time. Because that's awesome. To be blessed with a wife and a mom that does that. I remember my own mom. She would take us to church. Doors were open. We were there. Sometimes they weren't even open. We still went. I don't know where she got that key, but she knew I needed it as much as possible. I was just sharing with her the other day, we had the first lock-in for the youth group here. And that's rough staying up all night. And I remember, I talked to her the day after that, and I was like, you know what, though? I remember as a kid, my parents leading the youth group at our church and volunteering. And as a kid being, at the time, thinking I was dragged to those things. Like, oh, we got to go to another meeting. Oh, we got to go to another church thing. But I didn't realize what they were doing. See, it wasn't just something Sunday morning and Sunday night wasn't the only time that we learned about God in our home. It really was when we woke up and when we went to bed. There was a prayer to put us to sleep. There was a thankful prayer to wake up the day. And there was times throughout the week that we would share lessons, mostly when I got in trouble, which was a lot. So we had a lot of devotion time in my home. My mom and dad, that they demonstrated that. And my mom, if there is one constant thing, and I'm not just saying this because she's in the room, if there's one constant is that I interact with people who have known her over the years, is one of the very first things that they tell me is, you have such a godly mother. Is she beautiful? Is she smart? Is she witty? Is she funny? Is she loving? She's all of those things. But the very first quality that they share is, you have a very godly mother. That's a very rare thing. And that speaks a lot to her character. Some of you probably are wondering where she went wrong with me, but she tried. She demonstrated. She lived out. As the old Baptist preacher would say, she walked the walk. She didn't just talk the talk. And we are better for it. And many of you probably could testify of your own moms that way. We challenge for those of you who are mothers right now, and especially who still have some control over your kids, some influence. Let me challenge you to be that kind of mom. How awesome to grow up and hear, wow, your mom is a godly mom. She does that by teaching. The third way that God shows love through mothers, this was probably my mom's favorite, godly mothers love through discipline. Proverbs 29:15 tells us that a rod and a reprimand impart wisdom. Now you know why I'm so wise. Or lack thereof. But a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Now, discipline in today's culture is so taboo. It's unpopular. And while I am completely aware that some of the techniques in the past may have been too harsh, but let me just tell you, letting a child go and discover the truth for themselves, as many of the popular trends go, ends up with a generation that's lost. It creates individuals who have no exact morals. As I move into this crowd, well, this is acceptable and okay. If I move over here to this crowd, this is acceptable and okay. And really, the old saying goes, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And that's exactly what's happening in America today. Now, I'm not blaming any particular group. Let me just say this. Parents who don't discipline are creating a generation. When we say they're undisciplined, it's not just about that they know right and wrong. They have no guidance. They have no GPS in their life, if you will. A statistic that came out recently, and I think that is very scary. The building generation, the greatest generation, those of World War II, 75% of those of that generation claimed Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with God. Of the generation of the 25 and younger group, it's less than 15%. Now, there's a lot that happened in between those two generations. The baby boomers came along, and there was a huge time when there was a lot of prosperity. And unfortunately, as history shows us, that prosperity creates gluttony. And what started off, which was a very good thing, which was for those who didn't have in the World War II era and went through the Depression, they did for their children so their children didn't have to go without. It's a good thing. And they tried to instill in them, though, that hard work ethic. And then a generation came along who said, you know what? I don't want that. Being a parent's a lot of hard work. We've got social clubs, and we've got other things that we got to do. And, of course, there are some other things that came along, like divorce, social spread, the spread of society out into the culture of the suburbs. It's a new thing. You know, it used to be that mom and grandma and aunt and uncle all within a couple blocks of each other. Nowadays, we're not. In our situation, my brother and sister are 12 hours away. Even for in town, it's a good 25, 35, 45-minute drive. Your kids can't just pop over there. There's a lack. And we said earlier we had this dedication of children, and I asked you guys to stand. Why? Because it takes more than just the parents. It's a culture of society and the community. And when we talk about mothers, I by de facto include grandmothers and aunts and other women who influence. See, I grew up in a very rich family of aunts who were very involved with my life and poured into me, and a grandmother who poured into my life. Discipline. Even as a child, we didn't like it. No one likes discipline. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that. It says that God disciplines like us like a loving father. If I could insert loving mother in there. He does so because why? We don't know any better. And it's up to us. It's up to the moms to really show love by disciplining. And my mom would discipline sometimes with a little bit of paddling. I'll tell you a funny story. One times that I definitely remember getting paddled, my mom would paddle us sometime with a socko paddle. You remember those? This socko paddle that she grabbed, though, still had the ball attached to it. I didn't mind the spanking so much, but dodging the ball was... She was like, quit squirming. I'm going to spank you more. I'm like, I'm not trying. I don't care. The spanking is. She finally gave up. I think back to those things, though. She disciplined because she loved me. She knew that if I didn't have guide rails, I'd go off the cliff. And those times when I did go off the road, she was there to bring me back. Lovingly. but sternly. It was very clear. If we have parents today that don't necessarily want to get involved, that don't want to tell their children no. They need to discover it for themselves. In a world of Google and instant messaging and Twitter and Instagram and on, there's an information overload, an avalanche of false teachings in this world that is just being poured out on our kids. And if we don't step in and be filters, no one else will. We have to be godly mothers who love through teaching and through discipline. What about those of us who maybe don't have mothers, or we've lost our mom, or we didn't have a mom who was a picture of love like this? Let me encourage you with these words from Isaiah 49:15. You see, God is loving like a mother, and he will love you even when your mom does not. God confirms his everlasting love for us when he says, "Can a mother forget her baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." You may not have had a mother who was loving enough to step in and discipline and teach, but you have a loving God who is. God, as I mentioned earlier, is love. He is the example of love. He is the source in which mothers draw their love. And no place else did he express it greater than he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. You know, there's a lot of moms who sacrifice. I know there's a lot of times my mom said, "You know, I think these shoes will go one more season, but you need some new shoes. I know that there's some pizza left and I'm still hungry, but you guys look like you're more hungry than me. Go ahead and eat the last of the pizza." Sacrifice. Where do mothers learn that? From their Heavenly Father, God. God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still disobeying and dirty and not following his commandments, he still sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. See, that's what moms do. Godly mom loves us. She will lay her life down for you. And that's exactly what God did. Guys, there's nothing more important in this world to know that you have a relationship with God because he loves you. Do you know him today? You can. It's as simple as this, saying, "You know what, God? I make mistakes." That's what sin is. Let's just call it what it is. It's not something that's super spiritual or just a church word. It's just making mistakes. I am not perfect. Literally, in the original language, that's what it means to miss the mark. Be less than perfect. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned. For all have failed to be perfect. There's no one in this room who has been perfect. Now, as moms, we brag on our kids as though they are, right? But there isn't one. But Jesus Christ said, "You know what? Even though you aren't listening to me and you're disobeying me, I'm going to step in and make a way to reconcile this relationship." And he went to the cross and he died. But praise God, it wasn't just that. He came back to life 3 days later. And that is the guarantee for us. I don't know if I can trust him. He said, "I've come back so you can. What I said was true. Trust in me. I will take you to heaven." If you've never done that, today could be that day. You talk about celebrating love. There's nothing that celebrates it more than a relationship with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that you demonstrate love to us. And that while we still make mistakes and while we still were disobeying and not paying attention, following your instructions, God, you still came and made a way for us. If you're out there today and you've never prayed a prayer or never accepted that love, and today could be that day, would you pray a prayer with me like this? Dear God, I know I've made mistakes, but I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and promise of heaven. I don't understand it all, but I trust you. Come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and make me one of your sons or daughters. And I trust one day you will come and take me home to be with you in heaven. For those of us who have already accepted Christ, let us rejoice that we have a loving Father who, like a mother, will care for us and teach us and discipline us so that we are better for being with him. We pray for all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, for without whom we would have nothing. We just thank him, and all of the saints who believe in this said, Amen. Amen.